The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
Ready, set, go!
And the truth shall set you free!
Welcome to One Life Radio.
We are going higher, everyone. Welcome to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette Fiaschetti with Jerry Caldwell. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. Jerry, how are you doing today?
I am doing well on this gloomy Jerry day.
It is a gloomy day, but you know what? Every day. Yeah. We let the weather affect us so much. Unfortunately, I'm one of those. I do. I love a good shiny, sunny day. Sunny to me is shiny.
Well,
that
was
a Freudian slip.
I'm still sucking air. So, I mean.
Yeah. Hey, we have to have gratitude for all kinds of weather, even the gloomy weather, right? That makes you appreciate the shiny days.
That's right. And it's about to be fall. We're going to get the temperature's going to drop tonight. We're going to be in like the mid-50s for like the next 36 hours or so, and then we're going to get some overnights in the 30s.
Wow.
Very fall weather.
Okay. Well, everybody, protect your animals. Bring them in. I always think of
that
when the weather drops. And I know, Jerry, you're the same way, such a huge animal lover. And, yes, we all have to protect our children, our pets. And just make sure, just like you check to make sure if your water hoses aren't going to freeze up or your water, what do you call them? Water sprockets?
The spigots.
Spigots. That's it. Spigots. Yeah. So just protect your pets from the cold. And if they're cold, like Maura Davey says from the SPCA, if you're cold, they're cold too. And if they're hot, if you're hot, they're probably hot too. So just be aware. And, when I was talking with Marie before we went live about the show today, I'm about to introduce Melissa Diane Smith. She is a trusted health educator, internationally known journalist, and holistic nutritionist who specializes in using food as medicine. She is the cutting edge author of Going Against the Grain, Gluten-Free Throughout the Year, Going Against GMOs, and the co-author of Syndrome X, the complete nutritional program to prevent and reverse insulin resistance. Melissa recently wrote an article titled You Could Be Reacting to Corn, and it was recently featured in the Epoch Times. And so I thought, my gosh, I wonder if Jerry knows anything about corn too. So before I introduce Melissa, Jerry, have you grown corn as well? Like you and Dr. Furman were talking about yesterday about bananas.
I have grown corn.
I knew
one of the main crops that I grow in my little square garden thing that I came up is corn.
Oh, wow. And of course, it's organic corn. You don't spray any kind of pesticides on it, do you? And do you
know? Diatomaceous earth is the most aggressive thing I put on
it. Okay. But where do you get your seeds? Is it genetically modified? Stumped you.
I... doubt it.
You doubt what?
Most of the seeds that I get come from Mexico.
From Mexico?
Yeah.
Then you're probably okay. In fact, that's funny that you bring that up because Mexico, by 2024, I just happened to read this the other day, is eliminating glyphosate and Roundup out of all their crops in Mexico by 2024. And I guess this is a good time to introduce our expert, Melissa Diane Smith. How are you doing today? Welcome to One Life Radio.
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely. I love the Epoch Times, and I love your writing and your articles. You cover things so well. And then I saw another article that came out in this week's Mind and Body, When Gluten-Free Eating is the Best Medicine. Maybe we can have you talk about that a little bit, or maybe come on again to talk about it. Because our food is our staff of life, right? And when you think of corn, you think of wheat, you think all these things, you think of health, right? But not so quick, especially in the case of corn or wheat, right, Diane? I mean, Melissa?
Yes, that's for sure. We've strayed a long way from the food we were meant to eat, and there's no better representation of that than corn.
Yeah, well, it's ubiquitous. I mean, as you say in this article that's titled, Could You Be Reacting to Corn? Corn and its many derivatives are the problematic backbone of the processed food and meat industries. So how is corn and its derivatives the problematic backbone of the processed food and meat industries, Melissa?
Well, our whole food supply system in the United States is centered around industrial produced corn. Corn serves as feed for most of our meat sources, factory farmed chickens and pigs and cows, and I mean even farm raised fish. It's used to make corn oil, which is not just found in cooking oils and margarines, but added to countless foods, and then it's found in countless food additives. You know, everything from cornstarch to fructose to xylitol, which end up in an endless array of food products. And it's a primary ingredient in high fructose corn syrup that's in soft drinks and many foods. And as, you know, we emailed a little bit, it's actually added to many pet foods, too. So we have outrageous amounts of corn. And they're pushing it into all of our food, so it's very, very hard to avoid it.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that about xylitol. I did not know that it was made from corn. If I did, I'd forgotten it. But in your book, Going Against GMOs, you actually mentioned to ditch plain sugar in baking and use things like maple syrup, stevia, unrefined cane sugar, coconut nectar in its place, and because they don't contain GMOs, and honey as well, right?
Correct. Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you can get those processed forms of sugar out of your diet, and then if you occasionally want, you know, some sweet thing, use the more natural forms that have nutrients and aren't made from industrial produced pesticide sprayed foods like corn.
Yeah. Well, you know, you said that corn serves as feed for most of our meat sources, like factory farm chicken, pigs, cows, and even farm-raised fish. I did not know that about the fish. So they feed farm-raised fish corn? I had no idea.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really astounding when you understand how pervasive it is in our food supply.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this is so intriguing, and there's so much to get to that I don't want to waste a minute. And I'm going to jump ahead here because the corn is at the root of a lot of diseases, right? Right, Melissa?
Yeah, it really is. I know you're really curious, as to how this all happened. And I really thought it would be probably a good idea to explain that. It really started in the 1970s. The Secretary of Agriculture, named Earl Butz, under Presidents Nixon and Ford, he drastically changed the U.S. farm policy. You can learn a lot about this by watching the documentary King Corn. But his mantra to farmers was "Get bigger, get out," and he wanted to make cheap food for Americans, and so he's recognized as the person who started the rise of corn production, large corporate-controlled commercial farms, and the excessive amounts of corn in Americans' diets. So, yeah, he actually did make cheaper food, but nobody really bothered to look at, is this a healthy food system? For, you know, it turns out it makes Americans sicker and heavier. And we went in the wrong direction at that time. And so now it's all of our duties as consumers to take a stand against the corn system. And eventually we're going to have to change our food or our farm policy so that we all don't end up, you know, sick. And not just us, but our environment as well. The way that they're growing corn today, I mean, it's horrible for the environment, and it's destroying the health of our soil. So we can't grow nutritious foods if our soil is ruined.
Mm-hmm. How is it destroying the health of our soil, Melissa?
Well, it's because most corn is genetically modified so that it can tolerate really high amounts, excessive amounts of herbicide, like you mentioned, Roundup, or it's also called glyphosate. And that basically kills not just other plants that aren't genetically modified, but it kills the beneficial microorganisms in the soil that we need in order for plants to take up the nutrients to give us nutritious food.
Mm-hmm.
They also uptake a lot of nitrogen out of the soil, which is another issue you have when you're planting a lot of corn, which is one reason why they use all those artificial fertilizers and stuff that are so nitrogen heavy that wind
right.
up running off into the streams and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's doing horrible things to our food, our air, our waterways, and our soil. And we really can't have health if we destroy our soil health, which we've been doing for the last 25 years or so.
Yeah, it's very complicated, and there's a lot to know. I'm looking at the clock, and Jerry surprises me every day, Melissa. He's got so much knowledge about so many things when it comes to, well, so many things, but especially like planting and gardening and farming and all of this. But we're going to go for a quick break. We'll be right back with Jerry, Melissa, and myself. Stay tuned, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
We've all heard the mantra that vaccines are safe and effective, but is it really true? Turtles All the Way Down, Vaccine Science and Myth is an in-depth review and analysis of the science on vaccine safety. By the time you finish reading, not only will you see the answer clearly for yourself, you will also have the scientific references and quotes at your disposal that prove it. More than 1,200 of them. From mainstream scientific papers and textbooks to official government publications and vaccine manufacturers' documents. Whether you are new to the vaccine debate or a veteran seeking a deeper grasp of the science, Turtles All the Way Down, Vaccine Science and Myth is a must-read. Now available on Amazon.
Centuries before scientists identified the incredible nutritive value of beef liver, our ancestors naturally revered it for the energy and vitality it provides. But most people today find liver's health benefits much more appealing than its flavor. That's why our partner Enviromedica offers a superior New Zealand grass-fed beef liver supplement. All the complex benefits of this ancient powerhouse superfood in modern, easy-to-swallow capsule form. Find out how to rewild yourself for optimum health at Enviromedica.com. That's Enviromedica.com.
Back with more positivity pouring out your speakers. It's One Life Radio.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette Fiaschetti with Jerry Caldwell and Melissa Diane Smith. We are continuing our live broadcast from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. If you're just now joining us, Melissa Diane Smith is a trusted health educator, internationally known journalist, and holistic nutritionist who specializes in using food as medicine. She is the cutting-edge author of Going Against the Grain, Gluten-Free Throughout the Year, Going Against GMOs, and co-author of Syndrome X, The Complete Nutritional Program to Prevent and Reverse Insulin Resistance. Melissa's article that we're talking about today that was featured in the Epic Times is titled "Could You Be Reacting to Corn?" And you can contact Melissa at melissadianesmith.com. That's melissadianesmith.com or againstthegrainnutrition.com. That's againstthegrainnutrition.com. Okay, so could you be reacting to corn? One of the things that I found most fascinating about this article that you wrote, Melissa, that was featured in the Epic Times was the different types of reactions to corn, and what are some of the not so well recognized downsides of eating corn? So how is the consumption of corn and refined grain fueling diseases like type 2 diabetes and heart disease, Melissa?
Yeah, well, that's a big topic.
Yeah.
Some of the unrecognized downsides of eating corn, you know, that most Americans simply aren't aware of because it's not covered in the mainstream media, are food allergy, food intolerance, food addiction and binge eating, other like serious and confusing health issues that involve the immune system but are very hard to pin down and diagnose, and And then, as you said, just gaining weight and developing blood sugar and insulin-related mm-hmm. health problems like pre-diabetes and diabetes and heart disease risk factors like syndrome X or metabolic syndrome. So it's a big topic, and most, you know, corn is not considered one of the main food allergens. Because maybe it doesn't cause the true food allergy as much as some of the others like wheat and dairy mm-hmm. and fish. But I do believe it still can cause true food allergies where you have a dramatic reaction like hives or labored breathing after eating mm-hmm. corn. But I think, you know, in my experience counseling clients, it's far more common to have food intolerance to corn where you eat it and a few hours to maybe even a day later, you have an uncomfortable symptom. And it could be digestive related. That's what food intolerances are supposed to be about. But mm-hmm. there's also some research to show that those types of food intolerant reactions can still cause skin problems mm-hmm. or like rashes or trouble with your sinus or nasal passages or in your lungs like asthma. So there's a wide range of reactions that people can have to corn, but most people, you know, traditional doctors are not really up on this topic, are not looking for it. They're not diagnosing it. And so most people are, and it's not reported on in the mainstream media. And so most people are completely unaware that this could even be an issue.
Yeah, which is one of the reasons that I wanted to talk about this. I think it's one of the most important topics we could talk about because it is ubiquitous. It is in everything, as you said. You know, I mean, it's hidden in everything. And so I don't know where I want to go next. There's so many things I want to talk about with you. But I just made that statement. So what are some of the ways that they try to trick you in the labeling? How is corn labeled on, you know, processed foods that you might not actually understand that it's really corn that they're talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, it has such a long list of derivatives that come from corn. It could be cornstarch, cornmeal, corn bran, corn oil, corn syrup. Okay, you might know, you know, you might figure those out because they have the name corn in it. But
right.
Citric acid, sometimes ascorbic acid. So many types of vitamin C are made from corn.
Really?
Dextrose, fructose, xylitol, xanthan gum. You know, it's just a large, large list of derivatives that are, you know, hidden and snuck into, you know, all kinds of products. I mean, everything from deli meat to baked goods to crackers and candy and chewing gum and condiments and sauces and salad dressing. So, I mean, it just runs the gamut. You just have to be, you know, very savvy. I mean, obviously the way to avoid the corn derivatives is to eat as whole food a diet as you can. I mean, eating fresh fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, and then, you know, with your protein sources, if you really want to be serious about avoiding meat from animals fed corn, you want to avoid conventional eggs and chicken and beef and pork and seek out 100% grass-fed and grass-finished meat mm-hmm. and pasture-raised eggs and wild-caught fish. I mean, these were the types of proteins sources that, you know, our great-grandparents had. That's, mm-hmm. that's the way they always were raised.
Right.
And as I said, there was a big change in the food policy, the farm policy in the United States, and it went in the wrong direction for health, for not just our health, but the health of the animals, too.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. You said the name of that documentary was called King Corn. Get
Correct.
Big or Get Out? Or who was it that said Get Big or Get Out? That's terrible.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing that somebody like that could have such a huge impact and change, you know. I mean, I don't have access to the same food that my parents and their parents had, you know. Yeah. So it's like you have to seek it out, and we tend to think of food as just the same as our grandparents had, but it's been changed by how it's grown, and of course, in the case of corn, you know, how it's made now. It's not, it used to be that it was, you know, just handed down, the corn was handed down, heirloom seeds were handed down and grown by people, and then they were saved and passed on. Then, you know, these chemical corporations basically took control of our food supply in the mid-1990s and started genetically modifying corn, patenting their seeds, so that farmers had to pay to keep getting those seeds. They couldn't save the seeds and pass them down to people anymore. And it's really a travesty. That's actually why I wrote Going Against GMOs, because, again, I think we all just tend to think, hey, food is food. Most of us, you know, are not aware that it's been hijacked by these big chemical corporations and made into, you know, what I consider to be like pesticide plants. The two main types of genetically modified corn are those that are modified to resist large amounts of Roundup or glyphosate. And I mean, it's just astounding how many, like 500 million more pounds of glyphosate we've all had more exposure to glyphosate in the first 16 years that genetically modified foods were on the market. But then in the case of corn, it also is often made to have a trait, genetically modified to have a trait, where it actually has its own internal insecticide inside every bite of corn, so that can, you know, so that farmers can supposedly defend against bugs like the corn borer or something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're eating that. And most people, you know, again, in other countries, you know, they made a fuss about genetically modified foods and at least got them labeled, and in some places they aren't even allowed. But in the United States, this all was done under the table, and no information was really given to the American population. It was hidden. And, you know, it's just, like, important for us to be informed so we can change our food and change our health.
Absolutely. I'm just sitting here listening and shaking my head, because some of it I knew, some of it I did not. But it's really... it's so important that we get this information and get it out. It is. I'm looking at the clock. I think we'll go to break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a lot of really stuff, really cool stuff that you guys need to know about the connection to corn and food addiction and binge eating, and what food allergy addiction is. So stay tuned, everyone. More coming up with Melissa Diane Smith. You are listening to One Life Radio.
Follow us on social media at One Life Radio.
Crazy Waters benefits have a history that runs deep. The legend is that in 1881, a woman who suffered from dementia would sit by the well and drink the mineral water all day long. People began to notice that the woman was not so crazy anymore. Had the well gotten rid of her crazies? The well became known as the Crazy Well, and people from all over flocked to this magical place. Back in 1904, the famous Mineral Water Company began bottling and distributing its mineral water. The benefits of these minerals all feed your body and mind what it craves. It's a natural sports drink without all the disruptive artificial flavors and sugars. You can find Crazy Water by visiting their website, drinkcrazywater.com. That's drinkcrazywater.com.
Want to advertise on One Life Radio? Send us an email, info@onelife.com.
contagiously positive. One Life Radio is back.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette Fiaschetti with Jerry Caldwell and Melissa Diane Smith. We are continuing our live broadcast here from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California. On ABC News Talk, Melissa is a trusted health educator, internationally known journalist, and holistic nutritionist who specializes in using food as medicine. She is a cutting-edge author of Going Against the Grain, Gluten-Free Throughout the Year, Going Against GMOs, and co-author of Syndrome X, the Complete Nutritional Program to Prevent and Reverse Insulin Resistance. Melissa's article that we're talking about today that was featured in the Epoch Times, Could You Be Reacting to Corn? Is such a great article, and I love the Epoch Times. I love that you write for them. And so, you know, Melissa, I said before the break we were going to talk about the relationship to food addiction and binge eating to corn. What do you want people listening out there to know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's hard to understand exactly why. I mean, one reason may be that corn, especially in its really processed forms, is, causes blood sugar highs followed by blood sugar lows, and that may be causing more cravings. But I also believe, you know, just because it's been so altered and as we talked about, it has, you know, pesticide sprayed on it or insecticides in it, that it's causing reactions. And there's kind of a not well understood phenomenon called food allergy addiction, in which the body actually physically becomes addicted to the allergen's presence in the body. And we tend to crave that food and want more and more of it. I mean, have you ever, like, started eating corn chips and then have a hard time stopping?
Well, of course, yeah.
I started to counsel several people who, you know, consider themselves to be food addicts or are members of Overeaters Anonymous. And just over and over and over again, I found that corn was one of those key trigger foods to overeating and binge eating, and it's hard to understand exactly why, but if you take the corn out, and you know, most people are not aware that they're reacting to corn, but the only way you really know is if you make this effort to take the corn out of your diet, and then you not only feel better with many different symptoms going away or dramatically lessening, but you also stop wanting to binge eat corn and, you know, want to have it all the time. It's truly amazing how quickly that can happen within about a week of getting off corn. You know, the body is an amazing healing machine, and when you give it the right ingredients that it needs to thrive, it knows what to do. But, I mean, we're all eating, you know, in my opinion, toxic food. And so that's why we have so many chronic health problems in this country.
Yeah, no. Have you ever had pizza with a cornmeal crust? Right? And you can't stop eating it? That came to mind when you were talking about that. There's nothing, the most delicious pizzas out there have the cornmeal crust, or at least, you know, they're very addictive. Cornmeal on the bottom of them, you know, where they, you have never had one? I think of, there's a place in Columbus. I can't think of the name of it. Columbus, Ohio. I haven't been there in many, many years, but they used to make like this cornmeal crust pizza, and I just couldn't get enough of it. I swear.
Yeah, well, and I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, you know, that they try to make foods that are addictive that we, you know, just keep wanting to eat because it puts more profits into their pockets, but it's ruining our health, you know.
No, it absolutely is. So why is corn so heavily subsidized by the U.S. government? I read in your article in the Epoch Times that according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, corn has been subsidized to the tune of $116 billion from 1995 to 2020. And the annual corn subsidies have risen in recent years as well. Why is that, Diane? Or I should say Melissa. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah, well, again, it goes back to that's our farm policy. That's the farm policy that was really started in the 1970s that I mentioned. And they decided to subsidize, you know, corn production and grow outrageous amounts of it and put it into everything. And, you know, but it's really important that people are aware of this, that policy is what's making everybody sick. And we have to kind of go against the grain of that. And also, really try to work with our legislators. And I was listening to a webinar a few months ago. There is some opportunity with the upcoming Farm Bill, 2023 Farm Bill, to at least put more incentives, financial incentives, for people to grow foods through regenerative agriculture, and not put so much emphasis on these big, too big to fail, supposedly corporate controlled commercial farms. Mm-hmm. So in order for us all to get our health well again, we need to have more locally produced food grown regeneratively. Mm-hmm. Not genetically modified, not sprayed with pesticides, and we need to have policy change. But in the meantime, what we individually need to do is support those farmers that are growing food the right way, and you know, ranchers that are growing, that are raising cattle and other animals the right way, and not in factory farms being force-fed genetically modified corn.
I couldn't agree with you more. And, you know, what about the excuse, you know, of people like the increasingly infamous Bill Gates, who uses an excuse, you know, to say that we need to feed the world? What do you say to people that say that to you, or when you hear those words?
Yeah, well, I cover that in my Going Against GMOs book. But basically, that was a slogan to try to get people to do the right thing and accept it, even though people were leery of it. And it turns out that's not true. That genetically modifying foods does not increase yield. And it, you know, another thing the chemical corporation said is that it was going to decrease the amount of pesticides used. That is totally false. It's gone completely the opposite way. We've had an outrageous amount of pesticides sprayed on our food since the introduction of genetically modified crops. So really what genetically modified crops did is it increased the profits for the chemical corporations, but it just put us in a place of being sicker.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of sicker, in the article, Could You Be Reacting to Corn?, you actually featured a story of a woman that recovering after corn. You talk about how she recovered after corn. Can we talk about that for a second?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, there was one woman who wrote a story in Elle magazine about how much she improved after taking corn out of her diet. But I actually was prompted to write my book Going Against GMOs because I had a client who had, you know, so many different health problems. And yet when I, you know, told her to remove genetically modified organisms and corn from her diet and taught her how to do that, the dramatic difference in her health. She had remarkable improvements in allergies and her asthma and normalization of heart disease risk factors. And within a year, she actually saved $7,000 in medical expenses.
Wow. Because it's a pro-inflammatory, right?
Yeah, corn? It is. Yes, that's true. Some allergists who are up on this believe that the formation of new proteins in genetically modified corn may cause the body to be reacting by producing high levels of a type of white blood cell typically involved in allergies called eosinophils. And my client had high levels of eosinophils, and, you know, they actually reached normal levels for the first time in 20 years when she removed GMOs and corn from her diet.
Go ahead.
And I just do want to mention that, you know, a lot of people will think, oh, well, that's just impossible to remove GMOs. But in my book, I very clearly explain what the it's not every food is genetically modified. There are certain key foods, corn and soy and sugar being the main ones. And if you know what the GMO foods are, know how to take them out, I systematically help people learn how to take them out and, you know, keep it as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're making me think of another author, Jeffrey Smith, and he's got the same last name as you. I don't know if the two of you are related, but you're definitely related in your mindset. He wrote the book Genetic Roulette, Genetic Roulette, and he told a story in the book. It was he's a scientist, and he told a story in the book about two fields of corn. One was genetically modifying, the other was not. I believe it happened like in Ireland or somewhere over in Europe, and the cows would not eat the genetically modified corn. They wouldn't go near the field of corn that was genetically modified and gravitated towards to the natural corn. Have you ever heard that story or that of that scientist or that book?
Yes, I know Jeffrey. I'm not related to Jeffrey, but I learned a lot about genetically modified foods from him. And it's actually true that if given a choice, animals will not eat genetically modified corn. Mm-hmm. They only eat it if they're forced to. That's their only option of what to eat. So if you think about that, they have an inner wisdom to know, mm-hmm, this is not good for me. I shouldn't be eating this. And we, you know, have either lost that ability or not known about it. But, you know, it's really pretty powerful that, mm-hmm, animals do not want to eat it. That just shows you how toxic it is for us. And I'll also mention, and I learned this a little bit from Jeffrey, and I had a few stories in my Going Against GMOs book, that if our pets are having a lot of health issues, and, mm-hmm, if you take the corn out of their diet, take the GMOs out of their diet, get them to eat an organic diet or meat, primarily meat, then they too have dramatic improvements in their health too. So, mm-hmm, it happens with ranching animals. It happens, it happens with babies too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, sometimes there's a child's reacting to a genetically modified ingredient in a formula or something like that, and they change that, and all of a sudden their health as well. So when you hear all these stories about animals and babies and, mm-hmm, and, you know, people our age, you know, improving, you realize that it's across the board. And all, mm-hmm, and I think many, many people are reacting to these things, but they just haven't realized how much our food has changed and that this could even be a problem.
Yeah, I'm sure that there's corn even in baby formula. I know there is. You know, I can remember, I just know from just, research work that I've done in the past. And you think about that, and then it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's also concerning and kind of scary when you think about just how ubiquitous it really is in our food supply. I'm looking at the clock, though. We're going to go for another quick break.
Hang on just one quick second. Oh, what did you say the name of the corn king was earlier?
Oh. King corn.
Huh?
King corn.
King corn is the name of the documentary.
And who was the guy in the 70s?
Oh, Earl Butt.
Thank you. Now we can go to break.
All right, we can go to break. I'm sure people are, reaching out to us. This is fascinating stuff, and this is what we need to hear. It is. We need to come together as a nation and straighten all this out. So let's go to break, everyone. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. You are listening to One Life Radio.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at OneLifeRadio.com. We're back. More of One Life Radio starts now.
Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to One Life Radio. We are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in Southern California. On ABC News Talk, we are continuing our broadcast with Melissa Diane Smith. She is a trusted health educator, internationally known journalist, and holistic nutrition who specializes in using food as medicine. You can contact Melissa at melissadianesmith.com or againstthegrainnutrition.com. We're finishing up our conversation here about could you be reacting to corn. I always like to leave a good takeaway, like some fundamental tips or things that people can do out there listening to try to recover from a corn, what would you call it, corn addiction or corn infection, what would you call it? But you've got four tips for steering clear of corn. What are the four tips, Melissa?
Well, the first one is just stay away from processed foods as much as possible. Choose fresh fruits and vegetables, unprocessed nuts and seeds and beans. The second one is to avoid those conventional sources of eggs and chicken and beef and pork from animals fed corn, and to seek out 100% grass-fed and grass-finished meat, pasture-raised eggs, and wild-caught fish. You can search on the internet, learn the long list of potential hidden sources of corn, that you can read food labels and avoid them. And also you can kind of narrow down your choices of products by looking for products that are labeled corn-free or paleo. Now, neither one of those should contain any corn, but you do have to be cautious because there's no regulatory definitions for those terms, so you have to evaluate those ingredients just to make sure somebody at the company isn't making a mistake by calling them corn-free.
Yeah. Well, you brought up xanthan gum early in the broadcast. I had no idea that was a corn derivative. I mean, I see it on a lot of, I think, maybe keto products. What do they use xanthan gum for? Is it a thickener, a preservative?
Yeah,
what is it?
They tend to add it to like salad dressings and things like that. Now, I will tell you, xanthan gum can come from other food sources, but corn, being that we're talking about how much corn America grows, it often comes from corn. It could be from other sources, and in that case, you might have to contact the company to find out what the source is.
Yeah, it's also complicated. You have to be like a food investigator, I swear.
Exactly.
Right?
What I'm saying is our food has changed so much from, what my parents and their parents had. And so it's like, it's a little depressing, but we also have the ability to change it.
Consumers
are the ones that really force the change in our food system.
Uh-huh.
And every time we're buying, whether we're eating out or whether we're buying groceries, we are really choosing what kind of food and what kind of food we want to have in the future. So we have a lot more power to change things than we realize.
Yeah. There's really a lot of, you go to grocery stores and nobody knows what's in anything that they're selling. It would make sense to me, especially if you're a major grocery store chain, that you would have some sort of like continuing education. That's what I'm looking for what's actually in the products.
Right.
Like I said yesterday, I'm allergic to bananas. So I go to a certain grocery store chain whose name I won't mention, and they have samples. And I have to ask them all the time, are there bananas in it? And they go, oh, no, there's no bananas. And then I pick up the package and I look on the back and it's like, there it is. It's the sixth ingredient right there. It says bananas.
Wow. Yeah, you do. You have to be so careful.
True. I mean, many people just think, well, if it's food, it's out there, it's safe. And they, it's really common to think, well, the FDA is protecting our health. And we really have to get up on the fact that that's not the case. They have many members that have come from the chemical corporations that they're supposed to be regulating.
Yeah.
And so we have to protect our own health. We have
absolutely
to protect our own health.
Yeah, unfortunately, you can't count on the FDA to protect your health. You just simply can't. But
it's just a good idea in general to just always immediately go to the ingredients on something and look at what it is that you're purchasing.
Yeah, but it's hard. You know, time is money, too. And a lot of people are just short on time and cash, you know, especially right now. It's just it's very difficult to find the time to especially if you're in the grocery store with little ones. You know, I can remember that not that many years ago. And they're pulling on your, you know, your coat or asking you, mommy, this, mommy, that. And you're like trying to read a label and you're like, oh, my God, you know, you want to try to count. And that's why brands, their reputation are so important. Certain brands that really are out there that can protect you. And so we do have to do our homework. But, you know, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Melissa, that a listener just emailed me. This is very interesting. They said that corn is also susceptible to mycotoxins, which may cause fungal infections. What do you say about that, Melissa?
That is also, I mean, there are many, many problems with corn, and that's another one to add to the list. So,
wow.
I mean, it's just kind of astounding how our whole food supply is built on a product that has become so toxic, you know. And the more that we learn this, and we, you know, I really should mention that the subtitle of my Going Against GMOs book is The Fast-Growing Movement to Avoid Unnatural Genetically Modified Foods, in quotes, to take back our food and health. And that's really what I want people to understand, is it's up to us to change what we eat and take back our food and health.
Absolutely. Well, a lot of people are growing gardens now. I know Jerry and I are going to do a garden here at my house.
Well, that's a great way to...
Yeah. Maybe even sell some corn, like on this. I would put a cute little sign up, you know. I don't know, but you know, it's powerful to take back control of your health. It isn't to produce your own food. It's very empowering. You know, one of the things that I'm looking at the clock. We only have a minute or two left, but you know, we were talking about grass fed and grass finished. I want to warn people that I know for a fact you cannot through investigations work that I've done that you can't even trust that as far as grass fed, because they can slap a label on that, but unless it says grass finished, which is why they had to do that, they are feeding corn to the cows just a couple of weeks before they go to slaughter to fatten them up so they get more money for them when they weigh them out, right? And so you even grass fed, you have to be careful. But I mean, who's got time to do investigative work like that, right? And the same with chickens.
Story in the Epoch Times about that is called A Cut Above the Many Benefits of Grass-Fed Meat. But, I mean, you can look for certain labels, like from American Grass-Fed Association, there's a label.
Okay.
That just assures you, you know, you don't have to do investigation. Assures you that they're fed grass their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there are little tricks of the trade.
Oh, yeah.
To become a more savvy consumer. But you're right. It is overwhelming at the beginning, but we all have to chip away at this and do what we can, because, you know, our food is what makes our health. You know?
Absolutely. Your health is your wealth. Melissa, so great to be on the air with you. Thank you so much for jumping on with us. I hope you'll share your knowledge with us on a later date. So much to know, you guys. And again, Melissa, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Oh, my gosh, everyone. You know what? I can't believe the hour blew by. I've got to wrap this up. You've got one body. You've got one mind. And you've got one life. Jerry, what else? What should we say here? Grow your own corn?
Absolutely. Get out there and
grow your corn.
Some food. Yeah.
All right.